But in Deuteronomy,
Testament reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 to 10. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set up before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you to do today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God may bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And New Testament reading is taken from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 8. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teaching, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all these things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen.
Thank you, Rosemary. We're going to sing now the final stage of suffering. Thank you.
desire throughout this year. Well, our message this morning certainly relates to the year before us. We've taken our text from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 and following, although the latter part we might skip rather rapidly over the end, and you'll see the reason there. But our text this morning lends itself, I believe, to this title, pressing. Again, that's a participle there, of course, so it's an E word, we keep on doing it. Pressing toward the goal. Pressing towards the goal. And we're going to take our reading up from Philippians then, chapter 3 and verse 12 and following. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and know those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. God's word to our heart this morning. Word of prayer. Father, as we consider this year before us, of course we have no idea how it will turn out. We have various predictions. But one thing we can be confident of is that we go not alone. We go hand in hand with the Savior. So Lord, as we seek wisdom and guidance, we hear ahead and direction, and yes, challenge too, we pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you will guide us into all truth. For we pray in his name. Amen. So at midnight, whether you call it yesterday or today or midnight anyway, it saw the close of 2022. If you were awake and celebrating, or maybe you were even commiserating, was it with a big sigh of relief? Thank the Lord, that's over. Did you join in the singing of the old Robert Burns song, Auld Lang Syne, with old acquaintance be forgot? I was hearing this week, I confess I haven't heard of her name before. It's on the news, a lady by the name of Barbara Walters. She died at the age of 93. She was a what we call TV news trailblazer. And she said at the end of her life, she had no regrets. The moment I heard that statement, I was reminded of a little French lady by the name of Edith Piaf, who brought out in the year 1960, if you can remember that time, a song called No Regrets. And even though it was in the French, I can tell you this is what she was singing in the English. No, I regret nothing, nor the good things that have happened, nor the bad. It's all the same to me. It's paid, swept away, forgotten. I don't care about the past. I set fire to my memories, my troubles, my pleasures. I just don't need them anymore. I don't know about you, but it sounds a little bit fickle to my ears. And if I drew some comparison to a gentleman who, during World War II, rather than being fickle, would hear from him a deep sobbing. He was a German industrialist. He was involved in enamelware and ammunition, and in an ammunition factory. But he was also a member of the Nazi Party. Just listen to this. You'll know who it was if you saw the film. I could have got more out. I could have got more. I don't know. I just could have got more. There were 1,100 people who were alive because of you. Just look at them. If I made more money, I threw away so much money, you have no idea. There will be generations because of what you did. I didn't do enough. You did so much. And for this car, God, God would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there, 10 people, 10 more people. This pin, it's a gold pin. 2 more people. He would have given me 2 for it, at least one more person, a person for this. Oh, I could have gotten one more person, and I didn't. Some of you will recognize the voice there of Oscar Schindler, who did such wonderful things for Jewish people and employed them at his factory, and yet at the end, not so much of his life, but of his ministry, you might call it that way, was still full of deep regrets. Do you and I come to the end of 2022 and the beginning of this year with perhaps some degree of regret, not as deep as that, I'm sure. We're reminded of the apostle, and we had that reading earlier, and his swan song, you might say. He said, well, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. In his letter earlier, Paul to the Philippians, as usual, the apostle wears his heart on his sleeve. He's not seeking to be a super apostle that he deals with in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. But here he is seeking to let them know that from prison that he's on the same page as them. And he's pressing towards the goal. And likewise for us, as we look to a new year of 2023, and as he, in his time, looks to the rest of his life. He says, and verse 12 tells us of our reading, not that I have already attained, not that I have grasped, or accomplished, or obtained, or am already perfected. You know, how well he could have said in the days when he was a Pharisee, a leader in the Sanhedrin, he could have said, I've arrived. Socially, spiritually, intellectually arrived. I mean, after all, I was circumcised on the 8th day, the stock of Israel. I was a Benjamite, a Hebrew of the Hebrew. I was zealous, righteous, blameless. But now, under the authority of the King of Kings, those matters of self-attainment, now in Christ, he looks back at them and he says, they are but dung. His desires have changed. If you look back in the scriptures there, in the same chapter, to verse 8, he said, that I may gain Christ. In verse 10, that I may know him. And regardless of the time of the year or being in prison, he himself was buffeted by Satan, as a thorn in the flesh. Yet regardless of all this, he says, I press on, I pursue, and the word can actually read, I persecute. The same energy that he gave to persecuting the church of God, he gives now to following and serving Christ. I press on, he says, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. Indeed, Christ did lay hold of him. When he laid hold of him, he was bordering on being a religious maniac, a Hitler, a Putin, a terrorist, and if there'd been no intervention of God, he would perhaps very much begin to look like an antichrist. The Lord chose Paul, not vice versa. As the disciples remember, he said to them, you did not choose me, I chose you. I'm sure we can rejoice in that today, can't we? Amazing grace that came to you and I. How sweet the sound that saved wretches like you and I. He said, Christ has taken hold of me. And the works, we can add Ephesians 2:10 to this. For what reason? Ephesians 2:10 tells us, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How are your works going? As a result of your salvation, through the grace of God, what we find here, even though we would say this man is an apostle, and certainly of a different than us, nevertheless, we have the process of sanctification in our hearts as well. How is yours and mine service going for him? For Christ has surely laid hold of us. The one, after all, that was holding us fast, not vice versa. I like to remember on this, D.L. Moody, who said, it's impossible to flee from God's presence. Give up the vain attempt today. I'm sure in a roundabout way the same to Saul of Tarsus, stop kicking against the brick. I am laid hold of you. Has he laid hold of you this morning? Laid hold of you for the year ahead. Brethren, verse 13. Fellow Christians, I do not count myself to have apprehended, that is, laid hold of. And note the word he uses, brethren. He is an apostle, but he must never forget the equality that he had with other believers as a sinner saved by grace. He's a leader. He's in the church. He's pastoring and instructing. And often those in that position can often forget the importance of their own personal spiritual growth caught up in meetings and committees and somehow might be going on a different pathway above the riffraff or something. No, he says, I do not count myself to have laid hold of. The goal of perfecting here is to become increasingly Christ-like, like our Lord Jesus Christ. Willing, open, almost could we say, to be under the chief surgeon as he operates on our soul to clean out the cancer of bitterness and pride and selfish ambition and lukewarm love for God and man, and fill us with the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love and mercy and compassion and patience and kindness and self-control. However, said Paul, one thing I do, and I think this is a very appropriate for the new year, don't you? Forgetting those things which are behind And some might say today, I don't have any problem with forgetting, if remembering. But there's certain things that we must not forget about 2022. This is not what's in the Apostles' mind. We must always remember, and surely we can remember this in the year that's gone, God's love, God's mercies, His faithfulness, His long-suffering, His provision, His health, His healing, His forgiveness. In the words of Newton, His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will do what? Will lead me home. May these never be forgotten. So what does this mean here, this text? Well, I'll quote here Alex Mosher, or Mosher here. And I think it's well worth remembering here. What do we need to forget? Where there is a dwelling on the past that hinders our present effort and future progress. I'll repeat that. A dwelling on the past that hinders our present effort and future progress. You know, there are those who want to go back to the golden age, supposedly. You know, oh, it was so good then. And they can't live the present because they're always reflecting on the past. For an example, we might remember the children of Israel who were always saying, oh, the leeks and the garlics and the meat, not this boring manna. Or the temple is not like the other one. Oh, how happy we used to be. We all went together as one and now there doesn't seem to be any unity. Oh, how happy we'd be if we could go back to that golden age. Can I say something to you? If you're caught up in the past, you need to move on. Forgetting those things which are behind. It might be in another way, looking at this text, this. It might be, I might be, we're all in this together. It might be you're nurturing bitterness in your soul. You can't forgive. You're nursing hurts. There's a root of bitterness, as Hebrews 12:15 says, that may spring up and defile you. And there will be no doubt that at that time there would be quite a few widows around, and they were widows due to Paul's persecution and cruelty. No one says it's easy, but I ask the question and may do so of myself. When we have this tape running around in our head at times, can I say, how long are you going to hang on to it? And are you going to continue to let it play as a tape in your head to rob you of your sleep, of the peace of God, and paralyze you with fear, and hinders your present efforts, causes defeatism, and you're forever backward looking? This is not a process of sanctification and is almost forbidden here by this text. Remember too, our Lord said this, no one having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Think for a moment about our Lord. Our Lord and his goal, we'll look at in just a moment, the goal of our Lord in particular. Remember what he said? For this purpose I was born. He set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Then but one time Peter sought to persuade him from going by the way of the cross. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Again, the devil sought to dissuade him by saying, if you are the Son of God, and even at the cross, come down from the cross. But hallelujah, we hear him. His goal was accomplished. It is finished, he said. It is complete. The salvation of sinners for you,
for me.
Reaching, our text goes on to say, again, notice a participle, it's a doing word, forward to those things which are ahead. This is no passive, limp-wristed, let go and let God, and somehow fitting the Lord into my busy agenda. He will have none of that. None of that lukewarm, nauseating approach. The result of Paul's sanctification here is demonstrated, and so should be in your life and in mine. Verse 14. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards. What's the goal? Well, some have defined it like this. In fact, have you got a goal? I mean, it sounds actually better than a resolution that fizzles out you in the first 24 hours, doesn't it? A goal is certainly a better word. Well, there is a sort of an acrostic that puts it this way. Is the goal specific? Is it measurable that you can track? Is it achievable this year? Or are you too ambitious and get discouraged after a week or two? Is it realistic? Something you can actually achieve? Is it timely? Put it into a time frame. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. This word, by the way, in this text is the only word that's in here that's found in the New Testament of this ilk. It's a word actually spelled S-C-O-P-O-S. It's the word scopos. In the King James, it uses the word mark, and it means to fix the eye. Apparently, it's sort of related to the race at that time, a race called a foot race. It's a race, it could be a quick race to run in one breath, so it wouldn't be that long. And you could see, in other words, the goal ahead of you. We may well add to that, looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul certainly had lots of goals, didn't he? And we might be reminded that he had planting churches all over Europe and to eventually get to Rome, the ordaining of elders and deacons, and ultimately to preach the gospel to Jew and to Gentile. But I like this as a goal. How would you like to put this in as a goal for you? It's very simple, and I believe it's achievable. I hope so. It's taken from the NIV, which I'm not keen on, but I like the way the text is put. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9 says, whether home or away, we make it our what? Our goal to please Him. We make it our goal to please Him. Our text goes on. It says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize. Think about it. It is a genitive here, and it does relate to the upward call, but I think we could just stretch it a little bit to think about that word prize for a moment. Because during your strivings, look back on the last year, strivings, sufferings, sacrifice, could you, or have you, or will you suffuse that with some heavenly glory? What could be the prize that you and I are anticipating to have? Well, I think the starting point might be this.
Well done.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Or it may be, as the Apostle writes in 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Or as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, the unfading crown of glory from the chief shepherd. And this a prize? Think again of this as a prize. And that applies to us. They shall see his face and have his name written on their foreheads. Again in Revelation, robes washed, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're familiar with, ever be with the Lord. What no eye hath seen, nor entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. Is this going to be before you as you enter this year, as you take it a day at a time, as you follow the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? It's a high calling. You see, we're inclined to get bogged down in the wars and rumors of wars in this life, even get depressed. But we might remember our call. You know, when you and I were called, and we were all called, if you're born again this morning, if you're saved, if you know that you're passed from death to life, if you know the joy of the Lord, then you have been called. It was an effectual call, a call of God to his elect. And the call began with the work of the Holy Spirit regenerating our soul, bringing us into faith and repentance. But can I tell you, and I'm sure you know this, that it did not stop there. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and just remind ourselves of the progress of our life as Christians, as set out by the Apostle in Romans chapter 8. And you know this well, of course. Verse 28 tells us this: and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. When he called, these also he justified. And we might add into there the order of salvation as we know it. Not only were you, by God's grace, justified, you were adopted, you were sanctified, and one day, hallelujah, you'll be glorified. We're marching upward, aren't we? We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. But are some of you thinking at this stage, this is all a bit too high and lofty for me? Surely this is for the apostle. For me, it looks a bit high for me. Is it just for people like Paul, a lifestyle that's way beyond me? And I respond to you saying no, 1,000 times no. Because you see, our text goes on in verse 15, and notice he uses the word us, so that it includes you and me. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. This mind, this means to be mature. Sometimes we get the word translated into perfected, to be adult, to be mature. It's awful to say this, but sometimes people just need to grow up. And the apostle was dealing with this in the Corinthian church. Brethren, don't be children in understanding, however in malice be vain, but in understanding we mature. And again, he said it another time. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. As the text goes on to tell us, if someone should diverge from the Christian life, Paul has set before him, God will reveal it to you. Here is the work of your maturity. Your Christ-likeness. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him, says John Paul. Nevertheless, he says, to the degree that we have already attained, Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let us walk in line to march in battle order. And as we whisk through these last verses, you'll see how all this pans out. We are, you see, Paul, yes, as a model, verse 17. In verse 18, not a walk that we should take, ending up in sorrow, being enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, not that which is of lust and gluttony and idolatry, but reminding ourselves, again, as we go into this year, yeah, we are citizens of heaven. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are in God's waiting room. We are eagerly waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a passive arms folded waiting. And again, if our Lord should return this year, how would he find you? Would you be a foolish virgin with no oil in your lamp? Hear the word from John. And our little children abide in him. And when he shall appear, we might have confidence and not ashamed before him at his coming. Eating and drinking and marrying is not for you, and giving in marriage as in the days of Noah. Yet, as our text tells us, as we press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call this day, onward, we will not be caught unaware, and he will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. In our text this morning, we have everything here to equip us for the days ahead. Whatever may happen to us individually or collectively as a church, or you as a family, or whatever it be in your workplace, in your community, we have everything here to equip us. And we are to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I close by quoting this hymn, Another Year is Dawning. Dear Father, let it be, in working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of leaning upon thy loving breast, another year of trusting a quiet, happy rest. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace, another year of gladness in the shining of thy face. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving the presence, thy presence, all the days. Another year of service, of witness for thy love, another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven. Another year for thee. May it be so for his glory. Amen. We're going to close by singing hymn number 4.